Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
Alrighty, boys and girls, headlines on Tuesday afternoon live from Husky Stadium, getting ready for the Bob Gregory Coaches Show. Yeah, baby, coming up at 6 p.m. tonight over on 1090 KJR. Headlines, of course, are brought to you by our friends at VenueKings.com.
Keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
You're looking for tickets for the Kraken in Carolina tomorrow, 7 o'clock face-off over at Climate Pledge Arena. VenueKings.com can take care of you. Well, Dr. Ed Calfain, a team doctor for the Seahawks, announcing moments ago on Twitter via the Seahawk PR staff that Trey Brown has had successful surgery on his patellar tendon. He is going to be on crutches for 6 weeks and is facing a 6 to 7 month rehab process. I'm assuming that means he's out for the season.
Yes.
How about that?
Yes, it is. Tom Brady threw for 3 touchdowns last night in a 30-10 drubbing of the Giants. Brady passed the 3,000-yard passing mark for the season for the 19th time. That eclipses Brett Favre's NFL record of 18.
And because the Giants only scored 10 points last night, Joe Judge fired his offensive coordinator, a guy named Jason Garrett, the former head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. The Titans also waiving running back Adrian Peterson after just 3 games. And the Texans cutting former Colorado Buffalo and Denver Bronco running back Philip Lindsay.
Matt Nagy says that Andy Dalton will get the start for the Bears on Thanksgiving as they take on the Lions.
MLS, here we go. Sounders and Real Salt Lake in the playoffs tonight. 7 o'clock pregame, 7:30 kickoff over on 1090 KJR.
Huskies get a win over George Mason, 77-74. 23 from Terrell Brown, 21 from P.J. Fuller. Dogs take on South Dakota State at 6:30 tonight right here on 950 KJR.
And more news in college football. Penn State head coach James Franklin will not be leaving Happy Valley. Why? He got a 10-year deal worth $8.5 million per year that keeps him at Penn State through 2031.
And here we go.
And now, two goofy, wacko, out-of-touch homers.
Just brutal radio. Just horrible.
Live.
41 yards.
From Elliott Bay.
Can you feel it now?
Hey, Seattle.
This is Softy and Dick.
Well, I got good news for somebody out there. Good news for somebody. Everybody named Matthew, raise your hand. Now everybody named Matthew Macias, raise your hand. If that is you, you have won a pair of tickets for the Apple Cup on Friday, courtesy of your friend Softy Dick and Jackson right here on 950 KJR. Matthew Macias has 10 minutes to call back. We'll give you until about 3:15 or so to call back and claim your tickets for the Apple Cup on Friday. I'm confused. If Matthew doesn't call back, apparently the tickets will roll over to tomorrow, and somebody else will have a shot to get tickets tomorrow.
We don't
on the
want
radio
him to go
show.
Unused, right?
No. That'd be the last. Unless he's a Cougar fan, then we'd rather have him stay home. Okay.
We were talking about that yesterday, actually. What is the percentage of Husky Stadium that will be in crimson on Friday
night? I think it'll be, well, I'm going to start at 50-50 for sure, and then kind of work a few percentage points one way or the other. I think it'll be a neutral type setting. That's what it'll feel like and look like, don't you think, on Friday? I mean, it may be 60-40 Cougar fans. It may be 55-45 Husky fans. I mean, who knows? But I think it'll look and feel, at least from a crowd perspective, like a neutral-type setting on Friday, and that makes me want to cry, to be totally honest with you. Now, to be fair, we see that sometimes in Pullman with a lot of Husky fans that travel out there, but the crux of that argument is that there's way more Cougar fans that live here than there are Husky fans that live there,
right,
on the opposite side of the state. Why do you think Washington State holds all their fundraisers in Seattle? Because all their fans live here, for crying out loud. So I think it'll feel like a neutral type setting on Friday. I really do.
97 felt like a road game for the Dogs. And that's the last time that I've been to a Husky Stadium Apple. I think I've been to all of them. That I've been to a Husky Stadium Apple Cup that felt like a road game.
Mm-hmm.
And they stormed the field and they tried to tear the goalposts down.
They
and
tried right down here by the lake,
all that sort of stuff.
So, well, I remember when Barbara Hedges, I remember two vivid memories from that game. One of them was Barbara Hedges standing on the track on the west side by Montlake over here by the student section. And she literally has like a walkie-talkie, or she's talking to some security guy, and all of a sudden I see her do this, like wave him in. Like she's waving her right hand to have people on the field. Go ahead and let them on. And they open the gates over the moat, and the Cougar fans flush the field. They rush the field, and they sprinted to the 50-yard line. They sprinted down to that goalpost there on the east side, jumped on it. There was a big photo in the paper the next day. You remember that picture? And the other memory I have is all the Cougar fans that were sitting in the south west corner of the stadium.
That's exactly where I was sitting.
Yeah. I remember Ryan Leaf, literally, because I'm in the end zone. I'm on the field for the last 5 minutes of the game, so I'm on the field for postgame. And Ryan Leaf walks into the end zone right over here to the southwest corner, and he's egging these Cougar fans on. Hey, come on down. Yeah, going crazy, blah, blah, blah. And I thought to myself real quick, had a real just a small, quick epiphany that popped into my brain. If I walked over to Ryan Leaf and kicked him in the nuts right now, what would happen to me? Like, would I be fired? Would I be arrested? Would somebody try and beat me up? What would be the repercussions if I walked over and kicked Ryan Leaf right in the balls in the end zone? Because that's how pissed off I was watching that game and watching those damn fans rush our field. So I'd only been at KJR for 2.5 years at that point, yeah. Remember. Okay.
So it was an Al Harris moment for you.
It could have been an Al Harris moment, absolutely. But I think with the Al Harris moment, I would have been on Leno. I would have been on Letterman. I don't know if I would have been on national TV as a guest of anybody if I would have kicked Ryan Leaf in the balls
in
the end zone.
Yeah, because there's no phone cameras that could have recorded
it. Nothing,
now,
nothing,
if you would have
nothing,
done that, if you do that today, like if you do that Friday to Jaden DeLora.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's going to be everywhere because there'll be a thousand videos of you doing it.
Well, I would have expected to get my ass kicked, number one. And I've told Ryan that story, number two. And I've asked him, what would you have done if I would have done that? He says, I would have kicked your ass.
Yeah, he would have pummeled you. Right then and there, he would have pummeled you.
He was an angry, angry man back in the day, and he was in much better shape than he is now. But I don't know. You know, maybe it's just because the problem with games like this is we spend so much freaking time talking about them. And I'm kind of glad that the game's on a Friday and not Saturday. It's one less day to sit around and, you know, paralysis by analysis and think about the game on Friday. Maybe it's just because I'm in a mood. Maybe it's because the sun's out. Maybe it's because we got the honks today at 4 o'clock. And Dick Baird, by the way, I want to tell you guys, has an announcement he'd like to make at about 4:45 this afternoon.
He's pregnant. Congratulations,
Yep, he's
Dick.
Having my baby. Yeah. So Dick Baird is going to make an announcement at 4:45 today on the radio show. So stay tuned for that. But I don't know. As I'm sitting here right now, I think we're going to get him on Friday at Husky Stadium. I think we're going to get them. I think this defense will do exactly what they've done all year long. And I went back and looked at some numbers. What's really burned the Husky defense this year? The running quarterback has burned the Husky defense. This guy runs, but not like Jaden Daniels does and not like Anthony Brown
this
does and
scrambles.
Not like Dorian Thompson-Robinson does. He can get away from pressure, but their offense is not built on Jaden DeLora taking off and running for 75, 80 yards a game. And I got no problem saying I think our secondary, the Husky secondary, will be just fine. And Baird talked me into being convinced that they found something scheme-wise on defense that helped them stop the run against Colorado. So I'm in. We're going to do it. The Huskies will win the game at the stadium on Friday. Book it.
I think that Jake Dickert is going to have to change things offensively in order to win the football game. And I think if he does change things offensively, they will win the football game. If he doesn't, if he's stubborn, like Mike Leach has been in the past, and says, this is what we do, I don't care who we play, this is how we play football, well, that's got Mike Leach no success at all in the Apple Cup, and it won't get Jake Dickert success in the Apple Cup either.
Yeah. Well, I think even if they do run the ball, this is not Oregon with C.J. Verdell, right? I mean, Max Borgi is a good player, but he's not C.J. Verdell. He's not a Heisman Trophy candidate. The guy's not a freaking, you know, first-team All-American.
He's a better receiver, though.
Well, he's only caught 14 balls, which is really funny.
Way more.
That's funny, because I said the same thing before the show today, that I'm surprised that Max Borgi is not a bigger threat out of the backfield than he's really been. You know, they don't throw the ball a ton to their backs. You know, I thought they did, but they don't. So I don't know. I mean, what's the kind of vibe going into the game on Friday? You know, Puckett will be with us at 5:30, and he's running his mouth, you know, talking all kinds of mess and talking about Bob Gregory being a Trojan horse, and he's really rooting for the Cougars and blah blah blah. Maybe it's the opposite thing. Maybe Bob Gregory actually has some intel in the Cougar program and in Pullman because of his history out there. He played for the Cougars back in the 80s, by the way, for those that don't
know. What is this Trojan horse thing?
He's really pulling for what you get the concept of a Trojan horse.
Of course,
right,
yes.
Okay. I'm wondering how I was like, oh boy, here we go.
How Puckett is
because his smart-ass line of thinking, his idiot philosophy, is that Bob Gregory at heart is really a Cougar, and he will come in here on Friday
and purposely set this thing up
so that Washington State can get a win, which obviously, you know, why is it that all these Cougars always end up on this side of the state working for UW? Dick Baird, Bob Gregory, Scott Pelure, the former Cougar linebacker, was a coach here for Jim Lambright for a long time. We could be here all day talking about ex-Cougs that work for the Dogs, but I just think that this whole thing, first of all, I'd take the under in the game, number one. That'd be my bet. If I were to bet, I'd take the under. And then number two, tell me what the hell Washington's doing at quarterback, because I got no idea. what they're doing at quarterback. I don't think anybody knows what they're doing at quarterback. And we talked about this yesterday with Joel Klatt. We should probably maybe even replay that clip if we can, Jackson, between now and 6 o'clock tonight from yesterday. You know, whether it's fair or unfair to start Sam Heward in this game, we can debate that, I guess, all day long. The question really is, which quarterback gives you the best chance to win? And you know what the honest answer is, really, Dick, when you're talking about that? If you're picking between O'Brien, Dylan Morris, and Sam Heward, the answer is, I don't know. I don't know which quarterback gives you the best chance to win. All I know is
probably
this.
The guy that's taken 99% of
but
the snaps.
But that guy can't stop giving the ball away. That guy can't stop turning the ball over. And how do we know that Sam Heward gets the start and doesn't throw four picks himself in this game against Washington State? Because he's all nervous and people are counting on him to be the Messiah. You know, Cam's talking about, well, run the ball 50 times. Well, if that's the case, then, you know, maybe you should have started Sam Heward 3 weeks ago. Well, you want to preserve the redshirt. Well, then we're not doing what's best for the team. We're doing what's best for Cam. I'm telling you, man, if there was not a skull around my brain would have leaked out my ear canal by now thinking about this freaking quarterback situation. It's a mess. Absolute mess.
I think if they pare things down for Dylan Morris and make it vanilla and getting the ball out of his hands and playing the field position game with the best punter in the league.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Jaden DeLora, I love him. I love Jaden DeLora. I would love to have Jaden DeLora as my quarterback. However, Jaden DeLora will try to force balls into tight situations. He will try to throw on the run. He will try to make the hero play. There's a little Brett Favre in Jaden DeLora. And if he tries to play that game against Kyler Gordon and Trent McDuffie and the Husky safeties, he's not going to win. That is not going to be a winning formula for the Cougars for him to play that type of game. And that's how I think the Huskies can win is if they win the turnover battle with Jaden DeLora being a little too reckless with the football.
Yeah, I mean, and I mean, that hasn't worked, but teams have been able to beat UW by being one-dimensional, right? Oregon State beat them by being one-dimensional. Michigan beat them by being one-dimensional.
But like you said, those teams were already
one-dimensional, but they had better running backs.
Yes.
They had better running backs. Oregon had a better running back. UCLA had a better running back. I mean, again, no disrespect to Max Borgi. I mean, look, obviously I'm not crapping on Max Borgi. Max Borgi is a good player, but he's not Zach Charbonnet and he's not CJ Verdell. So if this team can't stop the run on Friday in week 12 after everything they've been through, then, I mean, you throw your hands up and you say, see you later, staff. We're going to hire somebody else and we'll start talking about spring ball in 2022. I just think this is one of those games on Friday where the strengths of UW have got to pay off, meaning you have got the number one scoring defense in the conference. You have the number two total defense in the conference based on yards per game and the number one passing defense in the conference against the number seven offense and the number 10 overall offense. That's got to matter in this game. Has to matter. Because if that doesn't matter, then they'll, not only will they lose, they might get their doors blown off.
Number one passing defense not only in the conference, but in the country. Now, they haven't been tested, but one of the reasons they haven't been tested is they haven't been able to stop the run. But the other reason they haven't been tested is because teams are afraid to test them.
Right.
And what I'm saying is, I don't think Jaden DeLora has a scared bone in his body.
Yeah.
I think he's going to look at Trent McDuffie, and he's going to look at Kyler Gordon, and he's going to say, bring it, and he's going to try to challenge them, and I don't think he's going to win doing that.
Well, Joel Klatt was on the air with us yesterday, so we're all waiting to see who starts a quarterback on Friday. We're doing the coach's show with Bob Gregory tonight over on 1090, by the way, if you want to hear it. I'll ask him who's going to start, but he won't answer, I'm sure. Maybe he will. Maybe he'll have a momentary lapse of reason and just blurt it out. Sam Heward.
Got some scotch you can give him ahead of time?
Exactly, yeah, a couple of bottles of whiskey, Joel Klatt was with us yesterday, and we asked him flat out what he would do with the quarterback situation. Is it fair to give number seven his first college start in a rivalry game where you've got one opportunity left to walk away from 2021 with a good feeling? Here's what Joel said about that.
Who knows what their plan is going to be, but let's face it. I loathe the predetermined who gets a series and when mindset for a quarterback. Loathe it. As a quarterback, I'd be livid. I would be livid if I established some rhythm and some guy trotted onto the field. I can't understand it. You have to coach the game for where it's at the moment. I despise this notion that you've got to make good on some Tuesday evening idea. I think that that's terrible, and I think that they did a lot of harm to their chances to win the game because of it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So if they decide to do that again, I think it would be, you know, I mean, borderline malpractice on their part. But to be very honest with you, I who knows what they're going to do?
Yeah. So I totally agree with that philosophy from Joel that you can't make plans and then not be willing to break those plans based on the situation. I mean, if you've got plans to go sit with your wife outside on the deck at Anthony's in Des Moines, but it's pissing rain and a snowstorm, you're not going. You're going to go somewhere else and have dinner inside. So if you're up 14-0 against Arizona State and the offense is humming and you have the ball at your 5-yard line, that doesn't seem like the proper place to put Sam Heward into the game. So I just hope this. If they do start Sam in the game on Friday. And I'm going to make a prediction, by the way. And I'm not 95% on this. I'm kind of 60-40, maybe 65-35. My gut tells me that Dylan's going to start the game on Friday for UW. I just hope whoever they start at quarterback, that they let the game dictate what they do. And as Joel said, not plans they made on Tuesday night.
Well, and you mentioned the Arizona State game. They go up 14-0, and then they pull him out at the 4-yard line. Well, how about last week's game? I mean, the first two. Now, I understand they fumbled the ball.
They were moving the ball.
Returned for a touchdown. But the first two Dylan Morris drives. And you got to hand it to Junior Adams. His scripted plays in the last two games have been very, very good. They netted 14 points against ASU. And then 12 plays, 63 yards before they fumbled, and then 12 plays, 59 yards for a field goal. 24 plays for the Washington offense in the first two drives, and then they pull the quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah. That's weird.
I mean, it's bizarre.
And again, because that sounds like a predetermined thing that they said, no matter what happens, we're going to do this or we're going to do that, which I'm okay with that if both those guys are stars like you had 30 years ago. But you don't have anything like that now on campus. So we'll ask Bob about that tonight. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, in some ways, you kind of feel bad for the guy. He was never planning on being the head coach of this damn football team, taking questions from idiots like me for crying out loud, having to make a decision about quarterback. And I think he was asked on Monday about Sam's progress and what he looked like earlier in the year. And he's like, I don't know. I was defensive coordinator. What do you want from me? I got no idea what the hell was going on. So it's a crazy, wacky situation here for the Apple Cup. And I think the only thing left that Washington has to play for, and really the fans, is just the pride, man. You know, to me, and maybe I'm being petty, but there's something to me that's important about being able to walk around town for the next 365 days knowing that Washington won the Apple Cup. And by the way, guess how many years UW has beaten the Cougars 9 years in a row? How often has that happened in the history of this Apple Cup? 9 years in a row. How often? Tell me.
Once.
It's never happened. And it won't happen this year either, because this will be 8 times, but they didn't play last year, so it's 9 years. How about
almost,
that?
Almost.
This will mean decade. If they win this game on Friday, they can go into the next game saying it took Wazoo 10 calendar years to win another Apple Cup. You call me petty, you call me immature, you call me whatever the hell you want. That means something to me. I love that, and I want it on Friday. So go get it.
My daughter's in fourth grade. She's never seen the Cougars.
That's right.
My son's in middle school, and if it wasn't for a Keith Price fumble in overtime.
Oh, God. Or a missed field goal.
He'd be undefeated in his lifetime.
No, they were up big in that game, and they blew it, man. They cooged it in that game.
Yes,
you talk about
did.
The game, and was that Sark's last year, 2012, 2013, whatever year it was.
Yep.
All right, so here we're at UW. Are you with me on the logo thing, by the way?
Yes. I am. I'm not. Nothing normally angers me as much as it angers you.
Everything bothers me now.
But
everything's bothering.
Yeah.
The whole world's bothering.
There in no way should be crimson on Washington Huskies field, and there in no way should be a Husky Cougar logo on Husky Stadium's field.
I just hope that Cougar fans and Husky fans could agree on that. And if the fans don't want it, then maybe the ADs, Pat Chun and Jen Cohen, can get together and just say, you know what, nobody wants this. Nobody wants to go to Martin Stadium and see purple and gold on the field, and nobody wants to come to Husky Stadium and see crimson and gray on this field. So, I mean, it's not too late to change it. That logo could be easily doctored with
all you gotta
between
do
now and Friday.
All you have
easily
to do
change
is
it.
Take the logo. Keep Boeing Apple Cup Series. You keep your money from Boeing.
Yeah.
You make the whole logo.
Oh, totally.
You make the whole logo just white and black.
Yeah.
Or if you want to make the whole thing purple in Seattle and crimson in Pullman, that's fine. But take the damn logos off.
All right. We got a break. Factor Fiction brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino. Kind of like the Husky Bowl hopes and the Seahawks playoff hopes is done. It's over. We won last night because what was the game that Ashley took yesterday?
She took the over in the Monday Night Football game.
And it was the under. So we won by default. I mean, we're just making picks just for shiggles and gits, just to have some fun. Factor Fiction champion, boys.
That's amazing.
How about that? It really was Jackson and Dick carrying the load this year. I'll be totally honest with you. But my job really, so you guys were like the Mariner pitching staff like 4 years ago. And my job was just don't suck. Just don't go like 2-18.
Tread water.
And you'll be fine. And, you know, it was a couple games under, but whatever. So we got it done. We are the official Factor Fiction champions for 2021. I have no idea what that means or what that gets us, but I know it gets us something that Puckett and the rest of the staff does not have, and that makes me happy.
Well,
because I'm a petty bastard.
And the addition of Jackson, like you said, this was going to be a one-trick pony. If Jackson loses the first week, he was done.
Yeah.
We may not have won this thing without Jackson.
All right. Well, we'll flex our Factor Fiction championship muscles again. Coming up next on the radio show, give you a shot at $1,000. The Husky Honks at 4 o'clock with a special announcement from Coach Baird, baby. You're not going to want to miss this. Coming up at 4:45 today on 950 KJR.
Details. Staples Connect.
Now back to Softy and Dick on your home for the 12th man in the NFL. Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR, and free on the iHeartRadio app.
I actually have a question based on your question that you're about to ask.
Okay.
We're back here at Husky Stadium.
So do I Softy, ask Dick my Fink. Question first and then you respond?
You will ask your question and then I will respond to your question with a question of my own. So here's what we got coming up. Factor Fiction, matter of minutes. We'll give somebody a chance for $1,000 courtesy of the Emerald Queen Casino. Husky Honks at 4 o'clock. John Wilner joining us at 5 p.m. We'll get John's thoughts on where the Husky coaching search is, the Cougar coaching search, all that stuff coming up at 5:05, courtesy of SimplySeattle.com. Then we got Husky basketball pregame with the Jackrabbits of South Dakota State. Was it South Dakota State or was it North Dakota that came here and beat the Dogs?
South Dakota State.
Oh, man, let's not. Well, let's go out there and get them in that arena that, by the way, looks like it has not gotten a facelift in 50 years. You see those pictures that J-Ham was tweeting out last night?
Yeah.
Unbelievable, man. I swear to God, they have a hand-operated scoreboard in that stadium. It's unbelievable. So we got a big, 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 big sports night tonight on television.
Particularly if you're a basketball fan.
Big.
And a soccer fan.
Huge. If you're a soccer fan, it's like Nirvana. If you're a college basketball fan, it's pretty damn big. If you love Gonzaga, you'll be in the nude the entire night. So what's the question?
Well, the question is, at about 7:45 tonight, 8 o'clock tonight, what are you going to be watching? You're going to be sitting. There's going to be the second half of the Husky basketball game going on.
Right.
There is going to be the opening 15-30 minutes of the Sounders do-or-die playoff match at Lumen Field.
Correct.
And there will be only the 25th time in the history of college basketball that one has played two in Gonzaga and UCLA. So I'll throw it out to you.
Okay, so we got Zags, UCLA. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put a poll out right now. We got Sounders and Real Salt Lake.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got the Huskies and South Dakota State.
The Jackrabbits.
Okay, so I'm going to do that. Give me a second. Bear with me. You and Jackson can talk a little bit. Go ahead.
I know what Jackson, will you ever – here's a question. Will you ever – veer off the Sounders game to watch either of those other teams,
even if they're out of it?
What if you were paid?
Too much of a diehard. Oh, if I was paid,
you'd do it. I'll give you $500 to not watch the Sounder game. How's that sound?
Well, is it a playoff game?
No, regular season. Middle of July.
Yeah, I'll take $500.
Okay, see, there you go. He can be bought, just like everybody else can be bought.
Yeah.
So I'm putting a poll out. You can watch one tonight: Zags, UCLA, Sounders, Real Salt Lake, UW, South Dakota, or other.
Okay.
So I'm going to put that out there, and we'll see what people say. You know, look, I mean, I'm trying to get caught up on season 3 of Yellowstone so I can start season 4.
Okay.
So I might watch that. I'm not working tomorrow, so I might just record the Husky game and watch it when the wife goes to bed at 8 o'clock at night. Frankly, to be totally honest with you, I think in this town, the biggest game should be the Sounders-Real Salt Lake game.
I would agree with that.
That should be the biggest game. So if you're putting a pistol to my head and you're saying you can only watch one, and if you veer away from that game, then it's over for you, Softy. You're going to be done. I would say give me the soccer game. I'd watch that game. Because it's the most important one. If they lose, they're done.
It is the most important one. I am just so much more of a basketball fan than I am a soccer fan, but I do understand the importance of the Sounder game. So I will definitely be checking in. Yeah. I have a hard time.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that you're going to watch Gonzaga?
UCLA? I'm going to watch both basketball games. If I had to rank them, I will watch both basketball games ahead of the soccer.
That's shocking.
That shouldn't surprise you.
Shocking
at all.
To me. See, but you would watch North Carolina, Kentucky if it was one versus two over the soccer game.
Yes.
Okay. And here's my question to your question that I talked about. We got fact or fiction here, so I'm going to ask this question for you. You can think about it a little bit. We can talk about it next segment. So, Jackson, you know, Dick always claims to be a bigger Husky fan than he is a Gonzaga fan.
Yes.
And when it comes to Gonzaga versus Washington, he'll always root for UW. That's what you always say over Gonzaga. A UCLA win tonight, you would think, would help out Washington and the perception of this conference. So what are you rooting for tonight? You rooting for the thing that would help UW, or are you rooting for Gonzaga? Think about that. About that. Right. Think about it. We'll talk about it next. Fact or fiction right now.
It's time for Fact.
Just the Fact, Jack. Just the Fact, Jack.
Or Fiction, powered by the Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest.
All right, put your hands together for the Fact or Fiction champions 2021.
I can hear everybody cheering out there.
Despite playing the season under protest, despite getting completely screwed over by management here at this radio station, despite going into Best Buy at 9 o'clock on Black Friday when the shelves were picked clean, we were able to find something. We were able to find something and take it home and give it to the family, and they loved it. So despite, really, I would say, massive hurdles for us this year, we brought home the championship. So congrats to Jackson. Congrats to Dick Fain. We're going to be celebrating by eating at Sizzler. Mm-hmm. We'll find one. If anybody can tell us where the nearest Sizzler steakhouse is, we will go there, and it will be on me. So we're just kind of playing with house money now, and all we're doing now is just giving folks a chance to make some money. So it's Tuesday. It's Dick Day. What do you got?
Well, not only did we win, it's kind of like the AFC East the last 10 years.
Right.
With the Patriots winning in, like, October.
Yeah.
It was just a runaway. Well, I'm looking at a team that needs a win badly and has their starting quarterback back and has only given 4 points to a team that is really, really struggling. And I'm talking about the Baltimore Ravens. Take a look at what the Baltimore Ravens have coming up after this home game against the Browns, and you tell me how much they need this one. At Steelers, at Browns, Packers, at Bengals, Rams. Next five.
I'd say they need this one pretty badly.
They need this one
and
very.
And it's in Baltimore?
This is in Baltimore. Gotcha. They are only giving up 4 points. Baker Mayfield isn't right. Now, there's two potential reasons why Baker Mayfield isn't right. We're not sure if it's just the fact that Baker Mayfield isn't very good, or if Baker Mayfield's three or four different injuries are forcing him to be not very good. Well, we know he's not going to be healthy. He wasn't healthy last week. He's not going to be healthy this week.
Okay.
Give me Baltimore at home minus the four against the Cleveland Brownies.
You know, I got a feeling you could be right. I like that pick. I like that pick a lot. Ravens are given four. Is that right?
Four.
Given four against the Browns. That's our pick for the day. You like it, you text in fact. You hate it, you think Dick's a moron, you text in fiction to 49451. If you don't want to crack at $1,000, then you do nothing. If you want a shot at $1,000, just text in fact or fiction right now. We're taking Baltimore minus the four against the Browns. We'll come back and we'll check on Dick Fain's real allegiances when it comes to college basketball. Get to the Husky Honks at 4 o'clock. What are Cam, Dick, and Greg thinking about the Apple Cup on Friday? We're at Husky Stadium. The Husky Honks at 4 o'clock right here on 950 K
Store.
Now back to Softy and Dick on your home for the 12th man in the NFL. Seattle's Sports Radio 950, KJR, and free on the iHeartRadio app.
All right, boys and girls, here we go. Getting ready for the Husky Honks at 4 o'clock Apple Cup edition with a special, and I mean very, very special announcement from our friend Dick Baird in the last segment of the Husky Honks around 4:45 or so.
You stupid idiot!
We'll have Coach Baird share a word or two with the audience, so you'll want to hear this coming up in about an hour or so. But we got Gonzaga, UCLA. We all agree UCLA winning tonight is a good thing for the Pac-12, right?
Absolutely.
Different in football and basketball, you know, the RPI, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So,
not really different in football. You want the Pac-12 to win in football, too, in the big non-conference.
The difference in, right, but the difference in football is that not as many teams have the opportunity to play for a title.
That's correct.
When the postseason starts, you could have seven teams playing for a championship. And with the parity in college basketball, I mean, anybody could get there, right? So it's a lot more wide open. But I think it absolutely is more important in basketball than it is in football because it affects more teams potentially. Anyway. If we agree on that, does that mean that Dick Fain, Jackson, the biggest Gonzaga fan you and I know, actually has his face painted half blue and half white right now as we speak, getting ready for the game. Is he rooting for UCLA to kind of help out the conference and in turn help out his beloved Huskies?
It would be, I thought you were going to ask a different question. I thought you were going to ask, would you give up a Gonzaga win for a Washington win? And of course, my answer would be yes.
In the Apple Cup?
No.
Friday?
Oh, yeah.
You would
do
that?
I would always give up a Gonzaga win for a Washington win.
Okay,
always.
Would you give up a Gonzaga win for a win over South Dakota State tonight?
Yes.
Well, okay.
Yes.
All right.
Because the Huskies need wins, and
Gonzaga doesn't.
Gonzaga's gonna be a one seed anyway, whether they win this game or not. Oh, so, like in the whole grand scheme of things,
okay,
it's not that big of a deal.
Well, you have now just taken this conversation in a totally different direction, and I like that direction, Jax. I think we should push the envelope here, pal.
This is great,
and see how far we can go.
Okay.
Let's say I don't know. Gonzaga goes on a 5-game losing streak. They suffer massive injuries, and they do not make the NCAA tournament. But the Huskies win the Apple Cup on Friday. You take that?
Of course.
Okay, good.
Like I said, I will never.
Gonzaga never again makes the NCAA tournament.
I've never wavered that I will never take anything Gonzaga over anything Washington football or basketball.
I think you'd be sad though. You'd be very sad.
Oh, I'd be sad if Gonzaga didn't make the tournament,
of course. I don't think that you fully divulge your level of passion.
It bothers you more than any other person on the planet.
It absolutely does. 1,000%.
It is funny because I never, ever, ever have this conversation with anybody in my life
because
other
than you. Because nobody else has the guts to bring it up besides me. Because, okay, let's just do this. Let's go around the room. Jackson, you can start. Dick, you can go second.
Okay.
Everybody name one thing about me they would like to change. One thing about me that drives you freaking nuts. Bananas. You hate that I do it.
Okay.
It's embarrassing that I do it, and you want it to stop. Jackson, anything?
Having to remind you over and over of this exact same thing.
Of what exact same thing?
Oh, let's just say your live spots, right? Which
okay,
live spots
gotcha.
Are you doing?
Anything. Just in general terms, you don't think I pay attention to anything, and you have to constantly remind me of stuff 5 seconds after you tell me something, I forget it.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, Dick, go ahead.
You get really, really pissed over really, really little things.
Okay. Like what?
like
Gonzaga?
Like that, or like the Cougar logo. You're like, I can't believe the Cougar logo. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
You know?
Is that what it sounds like, by the way?
Monday, you're all pissed off on the different things.
Oh, Jamal Adams. I was mad about Jamal Adams. Okay, so my one thing about you is your level of fandom for Gonzaga. I absolutely hate it, and I want to punch you in the face.
Okay, well.
Honestly. I want to do to you what I could not do to Ryan Leaf in the Apple Cup in 97. I want to kick you in the balls. Every time you bring up Gonzaga, it makes me physically sick.
But I only bring
I want you to stop doing it.
But I only bring up Gonzaga.
No, I want you to stop rooting for him. Period.
Well, that's not going to happen.
End of story.
I mean, that started in 1997.
Or just admit to me. Come clean. That you love that basketball team.
I do.
You love Gonzaga basketball. This is not a fleeting, passing thing. You are a gigantic Gonzaga fan. If there's a Gonzaga honk out there, you are right there on the same level as that guy.
But whatever that love is, there's a different level of love for the Huskies, and it's not even close.
But
so,
how
like,
can you have that same level of love for two different teams?
It's not the same level of love.
Oh, God, Jackson, I hate it.
It's not even close to the same level.
Jackson, do you have any advice for me on how to get through? Because here's the thing.
Well, and I think that's the thing. That's the thing that you miss the most in this whole conversation is that you try to convince me or try to portray to the audience that my love is the same or possibly even greater for Gonzaga.
I think
than
when they're winning, it
Washington.
Is. I think when they're winning and
they're
the Huskies
right
are losing. Yes, I think when the Huskies are struggling, Gonzaga's winning. I think when you compare the two at that point in time, then yes, your love is greater.
I just told you that I'd take a Husky win over a Gonzaga win tonight.
And
the Husky game means nothing.
Okay.
It's South Dakota State, for God's sakes.
But this is early in the year, you know, college basketball, you can lose a game and be just fine. I remember the video you made. You were practically in tears, for God's sakes.
When you made the Final Four and I was down there?
When Gonzaga won that game last year, and Jackson, I don't know, there's something going on here that we don't know about.
Well, dude, it was a buzzer-beating shot.
See?
There was a lot of people
were
excited for it, whether or not, even if you just had Gonzaga in your bracket, you were going crazy after that shot. It was one of the most iconic shots in college basketball history.
Yes,
a buzzer beater to win a Final Four game.
Like
that's happened
Villanova,
like, happened
right?
like four times
Just like
ever.
Villanova when they won the national title.
That's right.
You're going crazy. That's not why you were going crazy. You weren't going crazy because it happened to be a basketball game where a guy hit a great shot.
That's right.
You were going crazy because it was your beloved Gonzaga Bulldogs that won that game, and the tear ducts in your eye sockets were working overtime. when that shot went into that net against that basketball team. So whatever, it's fine. It's just I don't like it. All right,
I'm
just
going to
say
that,
it right now.
But I got to be who I am.
I don't like
I'm not
it,
change
and
it
I want
just
you,
for
you to change for me. We'll get a break. The Husky Honks are coming next. Dick Baird has a special announcement. He's got to make it 4:45 today as well. Coming up on 950 KJ.